We welcome you to our morning worship service today in Toronto, Canada. We're happy for those who have been able to join us online, and certainly for those who are here in person in our service today. We welcome you all very warmly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's fitting for us to commence a service today by singing the words of the doxology of praise to God, written by a man called Thomas Ken many years ago, but I think that they are fitting words. Let's stand and worship the Lord with these words. Standing, please, for prayer. Our loving Father and our gracious God, we come today once more into your holy presence. And our hearts, Lord, are open to give thanks, open to praise, and especially, Lord, as we have once more been joined together in fellowship, we are thankful, Lord, and we give from our hearts all praise and glory and majesty to the name of Christ. We pray, Father, that today our minds, our hearts would be filled with praise for the fact that we worship a living Savior, a risen Christ, who is alive and lives in the power of an endless life. Lord, fill our hearts today with thanksgiving and joy and true praise. Bless us now, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise. You can be seated for a moment to get your rest. 174. Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears. Thy bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Let's worship the Lord with all our hearts. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. And that is good singing, and it's good to hear you singing, because all the other times, of course, when we are, well, I'm alone here in the church, and there is a pianist and an organist and a few folks controlling the operations at the back, but it's good to have people here and being able to hear your voices singing to the Lord's praise. Let's unite our hearts once more before the Lord. Father, we are filled with appreciation and thanks and worship. We are thankful for another Lord's Day. And Lord, as we mark every Lord's Day as the day of resurrection, let there be special emphasis from our own hearts today, Father, as we acknowledge that our Lord Jesus Christ is no longer in a tomb, but He is alive and alive forevermore. And I pray that the hope and the joy and the peace of the resurrected Christ will enter into the hearts of every child of God, that we will not pass over lightly this great and foundational doctrinal truth of our faith. Dear Lord, encourage our hearts today. And whatever else is going on in our life, we pray that we will see beyond time and look into eternity and realize, Lord, that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We have joy forevermore. We have forgiveness of sins. Let the truth, O Lord, and the reality of this settle into our minds. Let us think and know that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Father, give us joy, we pray, in the place of sorrow. Give strength and encouragement in every heart. Father, we know that there are some who have very heavy burdens to bear, some with very special needs. We remember the Rajaratnam family this morning, Jonathan and Cheryl, in the loss that they have gone through. We pray for great comfort to be upon them. Remember the sick ones in our congregation. We pray for Henry and Kathy. We ask, Lord, for Lou and Lydia. We pray for these ones that Your hand would be on them to encourage them, and many other sick ones, Lord, that we've been bringing to You constantly. And we pray, Lord, for Your continued sustaining grace in their lives. Father, meet with us today once more again, faithful as You always are to Your promise and to the Word. And as we are gathered in Christ's name, just two or three, a small number, yet still we are assured that Christ is one of our number. Blessed Savior, sit in the pews beside every believer. Walk amidst the candlestick today, Lord, we pray, and pour out Your Spirit abundantly upon our time of worship this day. Hear our prayers, Lord, now. We ask in the Savior's name. Amen. Let's sing once more, please, to the Lord's praise. Number 173, Our Great High Priest.
Thank you.
Thank you. May be seated. And what great words of this hymn that we have been able to sing. Look over that again, believer, at your own time, number 173 in our hymnal. And I think you'll find its meditation upon those words will be sweet to your heart. Let's turn for our Bible reading today to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, reading the first four verses and then moving down to verse 29. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto his apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And then please, turning over to chapter 2 and verse 29. Peter is speaking, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul should not be left in hell, in death, in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all our witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Therefore, that all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." May God bless His Word to our hearts as we have read this morning. I want to welcome you all again very warmly to the house of God. As I was thinking, it was the beginning of December 2020, the last time we had a full in-person service. We've been allowed 10 people, as you know, for each service, and some of you have made application and have come along, and we've enjoyed seeing you, but the more that we see the congregation, and as still some feeling more comfortable to stay at home and watch online because of the circumstances that we all know so well, we certainly respect that, but we're happy to see you all here in the Lord's house, and our prayer is that God would encourage you. You have been very patient. I was on with the local MPP this past Thursday. He was having an interview with some of the churches and faith leaders in the community, and just asking how people are faring and what are the issues. And I emphasized to him, as Mr. Cho, please be sure that the provincial government does not shut down or close churches again with these restrictions. It is so necessary, so important for the well-being of the individual, but for community, for the entire province, for our nation, to have God's people together praying in fellowship, in unity. Not to say that we can't do that at other times. We know we can. But the Lord has blessed the joining together of His people in fellowship. And of course, we have not been able to have the Lord's table for all these months. But this morning, we intend by the Lord's grace and His direction to meet around the table of the Lord at the conclusion of this service. For everyone who is truly born again of the Spirit of God, you are invited and welcome to a fellowship with us. You don't have to be a member of our church. We're happy to have you join with us so long as you know the Lord as your Savior. We will be using the communion cups that we were using before that are sealed for your safety. The top part of the cup has the bread, and you peel off that layer, and then the juice is in the second compartment. We trust the Lord will meet with us, will prepare your heart, and will encourage you as we join together to remember our Savior's death in His own appointed manner. We also want to welcome the Berean Free Presbyterian Church, who's joining us online today. Our brethren from Boston, New York, we're happy that you're here. And if there are other churches that we may not know about, we certainly welcome you and every individual. We're happy that you're with us online today. Do remember, please, some of the sick ones in our congregation. We continue to hold up our brother Kathy and sister, brother Henry and sister Kathy Lee in prayer, as they have both been sick. And also would ask you to pray for Lou and Lydia Siu. They are also not well at this time, and would ask you to remember them earnestly before the Lord. Also today, I'm opening prayer. I was asking prayer for the Rajaratnam family. Jonathan, one of our teachers in school, he and his wife Cheryl suffered a great loss a week ago in the loss of their 8-month-old pre-born child. And so that's been a great burden for them. And I know that they have been appreciative of the prayers. We were thinking about that last Wednesday at our prayer meeting. We want to hold that family up, that God would support them and just give them the comfort that they need at this particular time. We're very happy to have the boys and girls in the church today. And we see some of them. And we want to let you specifically know that the Behind the Wall, the second episode, will be uploaded today at 2 o'clock. So after you have your lunch today, when you go home, you'll be able to look and watch that Bible program. And we trust that it will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Do remember the Simmons as they continue in that ministry, that God would bless them. Today at 5:50, we're having our pre-service prayer time. Now we will be meeting downstairs for the prayer time for everyone who is coming to the evening service. But it will also be on Zoom, and you'll receive that link this afternoon as well. Evening service at 6:30 for our regular service. Also want to remember, please, the prayer meeting Wednesday night at 7:30 via Zoom. Then Thursday, our session and board will have their monthly meeting. And then on Saturday, please remember the FPC Connect Youth Fellowship, and want to let that known far and wide. And we're happy also that our Berean folks are joining us today, and want to say for any young adults who would like to join us, you just send us an email. We'll make sure you get the link sent to you. That's this coming Saturday at 7 o'clock in the evening for our time of fellowship. And our brother Simman's going to be bringing the word. We have a young man from Mexico who's going to be giving word of testimony. And then we also have a quiz. And so some exciting things planned for the meeting this Saturday. Next Lord's Day, do please remember our regular services. We're happy today that we have a trio that are going to minister in song. Well, not in song, but in music. Daniel and Ruth Santos and Mrs. McClellan. Would you please come now? We know that our Lord Jesus is the bread of heaven. He is the bread that has come down from heaven. And that well-known piece of music emphasizes that great truth that we have received of Christ Jesus, the abundant food, spiritual, for life evermore. Thank you, Daniel, Ruth, Mrs. McClellan, for sharing that today. I want you to turn, please, now in your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24. The book of Luke, chapter 24. We're going to read from verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these things that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. They told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were spoken in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. May God bless his holy word to us as we have read this morning. Let's bow now, please, before him. Father, again we open our hearts and we give thanks for the joy that we have of reading the Scripture, of being reminded again of these great and profound truths. And we pray that now our hearts would be open to receive this word, to receive the challenge and encouragement of it. Give me help, Lord, today, I pray. Let me know that fresh oil, the spiritual oil, to help in speaking. I pray that every ear and heart would be open this morning. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want to draw your attention today primarily to verse 36 of Luke 24. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. From our vantage point, it's extremely difficult to enter into the state of mind of the disciples after the crucifixion of Christ. As they secluded themselves in Jerusalem behind closed and locked doors, and quite likely the curtains drawn, the dark night of depression and helplessness, and of total despair. It had settled into their hearts, and the fear of the devil was now controlling their emotions. All their hopes, all their aspirations, they had been dashed. As they witnessed their master hanging a lifeless body, a corpse on a cross, drenched in blood, where was their victory now? Where were all the promises of a kingdom? Where was all the hope of resurrection? All of that had been completely dashed away. He was in a tomb now. The expectations that he had so repeated to them, and yet so often their ears were closed, their mind and heart not open to those things. Their strong Savior and Lord, the great Deliverer, the Messiah, the Christ whom they had hoped in, he was gone from them. Can you for a moment, oh, it's so hard for us. We know the end of the story. But if you can for a second place yourself in that room in Jerusalem, at that moment, at that time, all their hope was gone. Our chapter gives the account of Cleopas and an unnamed friend who were traveling to their home in Emmaus, about 11 kilometers from Jerusalem. And they were joined by a stranger. Their eyes were closed. They did not know him. And after they had told him, "Do you not know what's going on here? Are you a stranger? Are you ignorant of all these events?" And he listened patiently as they expended all of their experience. And then he turned and began with a rebuke to show them from the Scriptures, from the Old Testament, all things concerning Christ, and that it was essential, it was necessary, it had to happen that he would suffer. And the suffering and the death of Christ and his resurrection from the dead, all were prophesied, all were spoken about from Moses, from the book of Genesis, all the way through to Deuteronomy. And all of the poetical books, all of the prophetical books, they all spoke about Christ, about his suffering, about his death and his resurrection. And he unfolded to them in one of the most profound Bible theological lessons that men would have ever heard in such a short period of time. And it was a short journey as they walked those 11K. And they came to Emmaus. It was night, dark. And this stranger would have gone on, but no, they wanted him to abide with them. And so they compelled him to come in. And the story before us is so alive. The sense and the era of it, it was so amazing. And he broke bread. And at that point, when he did that and he blessed it, then they knew who it was in front of them. And they quickly returned to Jerusalem. How late it was, it did not matter. They went to where the 11 were. And they came in and began to share all things that they had just heard. And in the unbelief and uncertainty and confusing thoughts in the minds of the disciples, into the midst, the Savior now appears. This is still the first day. This is still the resurrection day. And Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be unto you." They were afraid. They were sure they had been seeing a spirit. They did not know what to think. You know, friends, we in our time today, in a completely different generation, different time frame, 2,000 years from the event, but there are many people today that are in need of a word of peace. Levels of frustration have affected your lives. Despair is at an all-time high. The future, humanly speaking, is very, very dark. And there are massive government debts that people have to think about, not only in this generation, but the generations down the road. These are practical and real issues that affect us. Household loss of income, the fear of COVID, the long-term impact of unproven vaccines, and a list goes on and on. Suicide rates are increasing. You don't hear too much about those. They don't want to advertise that. This is the time and the situation. People are desperate now. They're desperate for hope. They're desperate for peace. They have no hope and no thought of recovering. And the cries of a desperate soul today. Yes, too many, my friends, are in that state. What is needed is hope that is real. Hope that is certain to comfort the heart, to lift up the spirit, to give stability in times of uncertainty to the weary, to the cast down. Yes, friend, let me tell you today that there is hope and there is peace on the authority of God's Word, because we have a Savior that is no longer in the tomb but has risen from the dead, victorious over the grave, and living now in the power of an endless life. This is Christ our Redeemer. He is our Lord, our Master, and He is our King. And in Him alone, we have peace. We have wonderful peace today. I want to share with you this morning the hope and the peace of the resurrection. Notice, please, in the first place today, the Lord Jesus Christ, He had an in-person meeting with His disciples, which proved He had risen from the dead. The disciples had already heard the testimony of the women who had seen the Lord, but they dismissed them. They thought they were idle tales. And now, as the two had come from Emmaus, they're in the middle of explaining all that they had seen when the Savior appeared and He stood in the room where they were. The doors were shut and locked. The Savior was not barred or kept back by locked doors, closed doors. He entered right into the room. He was now in His spiritual resurrected body. This was not, my friend, a virtual appearance. Many are tired today of the word virtual. Too many virtual business meetings, social meetings, worship meetings. People want to get back to real contact in person, especially when it comes to the contact that is necessary for Christians at the Lord's table. These are things that are important. Just seeing and responding to a person, to look into their eyes, to see their expressions as you're communicating. These things are what it means to have social interaction and Christian fellowship. And that's what we long for. We desire for this. It is something that is a part of the fellowship and communion of each other. And our Lord Jesus had now risen from the dead, and it was the real presence of Christ in their midst that encouraged His followers. Yes, they were shocked. Yes, there was fear initially. But once they had overcome that shock and the wonder of Jesus standing in the midst of them, He told them all those things that He had shared with them while He was with them in His 3 years of ministry. He had told them about His suffering and about His death and resurrection on a number of times, but it's like it was in one ear and out the other. They didn't really register. They thought he was just talking and teaching and maybe some terms or phrases that meant something different than what they really meant. But nonetheless, he was there. He had died. They knew that. He was buried. They knew that. But now he was alive from the dead. There are many people today, you know, many religions that will acknowledge that Jesus was a good man, a prophet, even a man sent from God. But they do not believe that he rose from the dead. They do not believe that he is alive today in that sense. And they deny it and they say, well, he was unconscious on the cross. He had some sort of an experience of swooning. And then while he was in the grave, after a period of time in the coolness of that grave, he revived, came back to consciousness again, somehow rolled back a stone that would have taken 10 men to roll back, and got out. People want to believe anything but to accept the reality that he actually rose from the dead. To imagine that Roman soldiers who were experts in killing and in death, and when the centurion had speared the Lord, to be certain that he was dead, and what flowed out from his side was blood and water. A very clear indication of the rupture that had taken place on the inside of the Lord already. He was dead before that spear ever went into his side, because our Savior himself gave up the spirit. It was not the nails that caused our Lord to die. It was not blood loss from his body that caused him to die. It was the Son of Man, the Savior, who gave up his life. He gave up his spirit unto death. And he took his life back to himself again. Oh, my friend, the explanations for the denial of Christ rising, they go against so many of the scriptures that we have read, as we did in Acts 1 and the 500 witnesses that saw the Savior. That phrase that Luke puts in as he's writing to Theophilus of all the things that he has seen and heard about how the many infallible proofs of the resurrected Christ today. And as you study them and look at them and examine them from every angle, as has been done from those who are forensic experts, and more than one, friend, more than one of these so-called experts has come to the point of accepting the reality and the truth of what is recorded in the Scripture because of so many eyewitnesses. But it's not just that itself. It's looking at the outside or the evidence that followed in what transpired in the lives of the apostles themselves. In that room in Jerusalem, fearful, doors locked, curtains drawn. But when they realized that Christ indeed was alive, they went forward from that place. And as they tarried in Jerusalem and the Spirit of God came upon them, they went out to witness and to speak with great authority, no longer afraid, no longer cowering in fear. And so one of the strong evidences that Christ Jesus rose from the dead was the impact that it had on his followers. Have you considered today, friend, the impact in your life of the resurrection? What does that mean to you? How many times have we allowed ourselves to sit in fear and to be cast down when only a momentary change of our thinking to come back to the foundation of the glorious truth of the resurrection of Christ, what that can mean to us as His people. We need fear the face of no man. We need fear no devil and what accusations he might bring, what doubts he might place in our pathway. Oh, my friend, consider today, when Christ appeared to His disciples, it was not a mirage. It was not some trick or something virtual. But it was the same crucified Savior that they witnessed on the cross, that they knew and saw was put into a tomb, who had risen now from the grave. And He commanded them to go and preach Him, His salvation, and the message of life and hope to all nations, to all peoples. And so the apostles, the disciples, the converts, the followers began to do that. And to this very day, we are continuing in that heritage of sharing our faith and our hope and our joy in a risen Savior. I want you to think for a moment about some of the implications of the risen Christ. Because He is alive today, we are free from our sin. We are free from our sin. When the Savior died on the cross, He uttered that one word that is contained in three English words, "It is finished." It is one word in the original. And as the Savior uttered that word, all His atoning work was completed. That one sacrifice for sins forever that will never, ever, and cannot ever be repeated. And so when Jesus said that, the work of His atonement was done in the eyes of the Father, it was a perfect, complete, and finished sacrifice. But my friends, if Christ did not rise from the dead, Paul tells us that we are yet in our sins if Christ be not raised from the dead. And so when we talk about the Father's seal and the seal of the resurrection being upon the work of Christ, it doesn't mean that the Father was sort of wondering, well, let's see, will I or won't I accept the sacrifice of my Son's atonement? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But the fact of the matter is that when Christ rose from the dead, that was the advertisement to all the world that indeed the Father had accepted the sacrifice of His Son. And the fact that Christ is alive today gives you and I the hope that we will also rise from the dead. Our sins have been washed away. And the sacrifice that was made by our Lord for our sins is steadfast and sure and unreversible. Christ rising from the dead not only shows His victory over death and the grave, but it confirms all the hope that we have for eternity and the fact that we are not any longer under condemnation for our sin. We're not any longer under the judgment of God, because the judgment that should have fallen on us for our sin, it went on our Savior on the cross. Let me ask you today, friend, where do you stand in relation to that sacrifice? Is it well with your soul today? Do you know the Savior? Are you connected to Him? Are you in union with Christ by faith in His finished sacrifice? Oh, I pray, friend, that you will know the joy of sins forgiven because Christ Jesus has risen from the grave. And we also know the implication of the fact that He is alive forever. In the Bible, He is called and said to be the first begotten from the dead. The first begotten. What does that mean? We know that other people were raised from the dead in the Bible. Christ Himself caused people to rise from the dead. So what does it mean when we are told that Jesus is the first begotten of the dead? It means this, that He was the first one to rise from the dead that will never die again. He lives, my friend, because He has conquered death. And because He lives, we live in Him. And there is no power over Jesus. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? In Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And He lives today in the power of an endless life. Jesus stood in the midst of them. Please notice in the second place today that He stood in the midst and He spoke to them. What could He have said to those disciples and apostles? You've all failed me. You all forsook me and fled. You all left me. Three years I was with you. Three years I showed you miracles. Three years I gave you all that you needed to survive. I was with you in thick and thin, and I kept you. And now what? You have, in your unbelief, departed from me. He could have said all of those things, friend. But don't think the disciples are all the guilty ones. Because you know something? The Lord Jesus could say all of those things to you and me as well. In the many times that we have forsaken the Lord, the many times we have failed Him, He could say all of that to us. But how kind, how gracious, how loving are the words of Christ, for He spoke to them, peace be unto you. They were hiding in fear. Fear had crippled them. It had crippled them to the point that they did not know what they were going to do and how they were going to go forward. And yet our Savior does not come to condemn them. Though they were weak in faith, yet He came to encourage them. For a bruised reed shall He not break, and a smoking flax He will not quench. This is the mark of our Lord. It was the mark in His life, you know. For He said to them on more than one occasion, when they were so afraid, when the storm was there and the Savior came walking on the water beside them and they thought they saw a spirit, He said to them immediately, be of good cheer, be happy. It is I, be not afraid. And then again when He was sleeping in the boat on the storm, another one on the Sea of Galilee, and He arose and calmed the storm and said, peace, be still. These are the words of Christ to a troubled heart. And believer, now, wherever you are in your heart, you can know. Because Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He warned them. He told them that before He had left them. And now those words will have come back with greater force. Our Lord is the Prince of Peace, spoken of in Isaiah 9:6. And there can be no other Prince of Peace. There can be no other Messiah that could come. Do you realize that all of the records of genealogies of the Jews were destroyed in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed? All those things are gone. So we have recorded in Matthew and in Luke the genealogy that goes all the way back to Adam. And those genealogies were accurate and specific, and they could have recorded and saw all of them, and they were not disputed. But now, today, to try to find who is in the link or the line of the Son of David, it is impossible to say today now. All those events converged on a point of time, and now the accepted time of the Messiah's arrival was there. He lived his life. He is the one who is the Prince of Peace. And it's the peace of God, my friend, that we have today that passes all understanding. The peace that floods your soul. The peace that you can have and know in your heart, no matter what's going on around us. Let us bask in the sunlight of the Word and of the risen Christ. Yes, He challenged their fears. In verse 38, He challenged them. He said, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your minds?" You look at that question and you think, well, I know the answer of that one, why they were troubled. Well, the Lord didn't say it because He didn't know the answer to it. He said it because He wanted to lead them forward. Really, it was one of those questions that really was stating, there is no need for you to be troubled or afraid. I am standing in front of you now. And oh, my young friends, people here today, the thought that their Lord was just a spirit, simply appeared in the room, but He left no doubt when He showed them His hands and His feet. And as they were still uncertain, He said, "Have you any food to eat?" And they gave Him food to eat. And they realized, this is our Lord, our bodily risen Lord, not a phantom, but the one who indeed we saw on the cross, the one who we know was buried, the one who is alive from the dead. He says this phrase, "It is I myself." It's one of those I ams of the New Testament. He is saying, "It is I am." Oh, how many times did the Lord give that phrase to them and sometimes to His enemies to expose their unbelief? But He gave that word to them to let them know that it is the living and the true God who is in front of you now. I am the God with whom you have to do. I am the God who has come to live for you. I am the God who has come to die for you. And I am your God that has come raised from the dead for you. The Lord came to them in their place of fear and uncertainty. And He stood in front of them. He was identified as the Christ of God. And He was not ashamed to be called their brethren. And He challenged their fears. And He said to them, "It is I. Be not afraid." Believer, what circumstances have left you at times cowering in fear and uncertainty? Bring those to the resurrected Christ. Cast all your care upon Him. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and behold Him whom our soul loves, and He will strengthen us. Because, you know, when we behold the risen Savior, it gives us hope in the time of our despair. It gives to us strength when we are feeling the weakness of our flesh. It gives to us peace of mind in time of great turmoil. And it gives to us joy, great joy, in times of sadness. When our Lord draws near and we see Him whom our soul loves, we behold the marks of His love. And there comes a very different perspective in our life with all its uncertainty, because we have hope and we stand upon certain ground. The hymn writer said, "All your anxiety, all of your care, bring to the mercy seat and leave it there. Never a burden that He cannot bear. There's never a friend like Jesus." And our Lord, He opened the understanding of His disciples there. We're told that very clearly in verse 45 as He was meeting with them. He opened their understanding as to His work of redemption and about His suffering and about their hope for eternity and the fact that they were going to rise themselves from the dead. John's Gospel tells us that Christ, He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. As we bring this message to a conclusion, we learn some things about this, that our Lord's great compassion upon His people and upon us in the time of our weakness, and how He is willing to be identified with us. What do we learn from it? We learn that the resurrection of Christ is the only hope for mankind. And if you're not a Christian today, friend, the resurrection of Christ, it's the only hope that you have, placing your faith in Him. And that a sight by faith of the risen Savior, it gives us victory over our fears. We need not fear the face of man. We need not fear the face or the accusation of the devil. But let us live every day in the victory and joy of the risen Savior. That is our hope. We learn that through the risen Christ, God imparts to us the power to serve Him. And that because He is alive today, we have life and life forevermore. And that can never, ever, ever be taken away from us. Friend, we are not saved today and then lost tomorrow. Our salvation does not depend on ourselves. It's not a game of spiritual musical chairs so that you hope when the music stops you have a chair to sit down on. No, that's not what it is, friend. Christ has died. We have been given faith. We trust Him today. And we have that hope for eternity abiding within us. That is the joy that you and I have this morning. We're going to close our service by singing a great gospel and triumphant hymn, "I Serve a Risen Savior." He's in the world today. Number 169, if you're using our book online. 169, let's stand please and sing this hymn to the Lord's praise. Thank you.
not able to stay for our communion service today, and everyone is welcome to stay. If you are a believer, to partake. If you do not know the Lord, you can just pass by the bread
and the juice, but we want to encourage you. But if you have to go, that's fine. Please feel free to leave any time now during this final verse. Let's sing to the Lord. Thank you. Please be seated.